Hi, everybody, and welcome to a Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Donatella My Secrets.
And my name is Coco Gem Holiday.
Coco, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Once again, I have a cocktail in hand because I can only talk to our viewers while I'm drinking.
Yeah, exactly. I have this same boxed wine from yesterday. I'm rationing it off. I'm rationing it as this quarantine happens. And what a great segue to go into our topic of this episode.
Yeah, so we, just to let everybody know, we are filming this when we're in the heart of an almost shelter in place in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I don't know what's going to happen in the next few days. None of us do. So just keep in mind that is when we're recording this.
Yeah. Yep. So the focus of this episode basically is we want to talk about, because we are a drag focused podcast, we want to talk about what drag means during time of a pandemic. Drag obviously is a very social activity, which we rely on an audience to have people there to support us. A lot of entertainers are not just working for the booking fee. A lot of entertainers start working for tips. And a lot of people use it as a source of income. So what does this mean for drag queens during this time, Coco?
Yeah, so actually, I was just thinking about this as you were talking. So I did see a post online before we really get into the topic of digital. Mm-hmm. You said something there that was really important. Some drag entertainers didn't want to take their art digital because their performance style is very reactive to a crowd.
It's personal. Yeah.
Some people live sing and they want the audience reaction. They want the audience to be a participant. Some people are very theatrical and artistic in their drag. Mm-hmm. And so they want to show their art in person. Like, it'd be like, you think like somebody like paints something, mm-hmm. and then suddenly they show it on the internet.
I think that's such a good point to bring up, because honestly, drag is one of those performance styles that is extremely interactive. It's like a style of theater that has audience participation to it, you know? So it's something that it does really rely on the reaction that you get from people around you.
Yeah, and that's not to negate or diminish, like, some drag artists who are just... Actually, this kind of fits in. Some drag artists, like T-Rex, mm-hmm. mainly do hosting.
Yeah.
And so, how do you host digitally?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that, really.
Yeah, and you're someone who hosts a lot of shows. So, yeah. You know, if... Even if it were that we were able to host shows with other entertainers, like, around us, like, you're not getting that interaction from the people that are viewing because you can't see them. Only they can see you and what you're doing.
Yeah.
So it's something that you thrive on that energy from the audience, and you're not getting that.
It's true. And actually, I have a point about that I'll bring up later when we talk about what happened with our live show, We're Quarantined. But yeah. Another point is, I don't want to diminish photo entertainers.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of... drag artists who, you know, are in magazines and things mm-hmm. like that, or you
Instagram.
Know, yeah, and
Instagram
they're
model,
notarized.
Yeah.
So they weren't necessarily affected at the same level as the people who are just performative drag. So not to diminish you all, but you understand what we're getting at with, like, the whole performance aspect of drag. So so let's talk about the resilience of drag artists and, like, what happened with the digital world.
Yeah. So we're living in a strange time right now. In all of our lives has there never been a pandemic to this magnitude. And this means right now that we're in a position where we can't form, like, gatherings in crowds. We can't be social face to face because of the spread of this virus right now. So being in an industry that is primarily social, we've had to resort to having shows on different platforms like Facebook Live, Instagram Live, and it's kind of created this paradigm shift, hopefully for a short amount of time, if we can really focus on getting this under control and contained, but that is yet to be seen. So what is, I guess, the future for drag, at least the near future for drag right now?
Well, and the other thing is, too, and we're definitely not going to give anybody misinformation, but let's just go with the average 4 weeks to 6 months we're just going to be talking about. We're just going to say mm-hmm. that's what we're looking at. We don't know, as we said, at the time of filming this. So for me personally, like, I... So live drag shows, like that's the thing that people started doing is live drag shows. And I actually haven't watched any of them. Not because I don't support local drag or any of the things like that. It's I just don't have the time.
Still considered essential.
I'm an essential worker. I'm not going to broadcast where I work, but I am still working a full 40 hours, and it's very tiring. And so by the time I get home, the last thing I want to do in the world is paint a face. And the last thing I want to do is watch live drag because I'm just like trying to get ready for the next day because this has been so hard. And so the thing is, I think that that's really awesome that a lot of drag artists started being a little bit more resilient by doing their live shows. And the creativity and the artistry that's come out of this has kind of been insane, even just by the posters.
Yeah.
Like the posters are better. It's like, well, you know, I don't have to like care about necessarily like putting up all my posters on the street so I can spend more time making a great poster for like Instagram and Facebook or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
I've noticed that. So the creativity on that side. And then I also noticed the marketing aspect seems a little bit better too.
Yeah.
Because people don't have to like, they're just telling you, I want you to watch my art for a second.
I feel like there's so many people that are online now too. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of people that are trying to find ways to fill their time because a lot of people are out of work. I know for me, even though I do work from home, I'm not getting as much work as I would like to. So I'm definitely like going online and tuning into some of these live streams. So I feel like there's definitely more of an audience for people to watch, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's still so, you know, I still see it from every entertainer that's doing it too, is that they will put their Venmos and their information on there, but they'll be like, I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this because I love this. I'm doing this because, you know, like it's something that I know and love to do and I want to keep doing it. And I think that's extremely admirable for all of you to do that. But at the same time, like your art does deserve to have some sort of like compensation for it, because like what you're doing is beautiful and you're doing it in a time when people need this. So just know that like, yeah, like it kind of feels weird to ask for money. I did it the other day and it was the first time I've ever really put my Venmo up on my Facebook and it was awkward, but at the same time it's like you're putting yourself out there during a time when there's a lot of turmoil in the world to try and distract people, and I think that's important.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the negative side of it a little bit. So I haven't actually made, so I have a Drag for Fans page, and I actually haven't made really any money with that. We did, and so this is a good time. We did have a live show that we were going to do. We were going to try to practice social distancing, only have 10 people, and actually filter entertainers in and out of our house. So they could perform live on a live stream, and it was like really cool, and it was like a really great concept. But then after we pretty much had the shelter in place going on, then it just kind of fizzled because of that.
And I feel like too, with this pandemic, it's been something where the misinformation and the vast, the varying amounts of information that we've received on this has made it to where, like, people are catching up slowly about how serious this is. Like, for me, it was, like, probably a week or a week and a half ago or so that I really, especially as someone with my other job who consumes a lot of content, realized the severity of this pandemic currently. And that means that if you're essential, you go to work and you do what you do, and then you practice your social distancing. And if you're not, you stay home. And it's because we also, you know, are living in a society right now where our government isn't taking this super seriously, and we're seeing how it's affecting other countries. So it's, you know, it's something that took us all a little bit of time to really realize, I think, the severity of everything. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there was just no way that we were going to be able to pull that off without, and you know, putting people at risk, even if it was just a handful of people filtering in and out and doing performances one at a time and having like a specific time slot that they came and performed. It still, you know, it still creates the possibility of spreading the virus, and that's just, it's something that's irresponsible that we can't do.
Yeah, and one of the things, the reason I was bringing it up too is because, like I said earlier in the podcast, is me and Donatella hosted the pre-show with our new microphone system and our lights and everything, and I really got my hosting bug out.
Yeah.
So it was cool to digitally host a show.
It was.
And then me and Donatella always play off each other super well. That live feed is still actually on my Facebook. Sorry, on my Instagram, I think it is, or somewhere. Mm-hmm. From our show, We're Quarantined. And it really does suck, because it was super cool to be able to get people in here to be able to entertain and perform. But now it's just gotten a little bit more serious. The one thing that is true that we can say is, like, we're trying to flatten the curve. Mm-hmm. However we're doing that... you know, regardless, social distancing is how you flatten the curve.
Yeah.
We don't know if we're being super successful as of the recording of this, but there have been some articles out there that say it's somewhat working.
Yeah.
So to bring it back up a little bit, one, we did want to call out some of the live shows. So Donna, what are some of the live shows you've seen, and how have people done it? And like, tell me actually, yeah, tell me, the only one that I saw really was like, Bougie Cherry had one with her drag family.
She
and
did.
She had people come call in to her Instagram Live. And that was kind of cool. I only watched probably the first 10 minutes or so. But tell me about what you saw. Talk to us about backgrounds, the music, and all that other stuff.
Well, it was really great. You know, it kind of functioned as any show does, where you introduce other entertainers. I really liked what Bougie did, because her and one of her drag children, Mercury, they live together in the same space, so they were able to kind of do some of their own stuff for the live stream. And then she had people call in. Some other shows that I've seen that have been really cool that aren't as collaborative, but there's a lot of really awesome entertainers out here that have been going at it for a very long time. Bolivia Carmichael's did an awesome one woman show that I tuned into live, and she did a really cool puppet act, and there were people there were people that were tuning in left and right and being like, hey, how can we tip you, how can we do this? And I think it's really important for those entertainers that have been doing this for a long time and this is their livelihood, that you tune in and you support those entertainers. I know that a lot of us are relying on tips right now at a time when a lot of us don't have money. Mm-hmm. and that's difficult, but still tune in for those performances. Some other ones that I've seen, I believe there was Blondie is one of the local queens. Blondie, here in Portland, and
Blondie had some awesome posters.
Yeah, they've not only been just doing shows, but also readings, tarot.
Yeah,
and stuff.
That's such a cool idea. Mm-hmm. Because we all have other skill sets that we can do. You know what I could do? Just thinking about it, because I've been drinking. I could have hosted a live show to where I talk about the business side of drag. A little bit more, and talk about, because seriously, this last year, the government gave me a hefty check for all the amount of drag I did because of my miles that I was able to record. I could even do that. I don't mean to distract from that, but, you know, as I've been drinking, I'm like, oh, I could probably do that.
We have to get innovative. We have to get creative right now.
Yeah.
Another entertainer that I really want to give props to is Sunny Ray. And this is an entertainer that Coco and I have known actually for quite some time.
Probably over 6 years at this point.
Yeah, because it was around the time that we started drag. So, and we've been doing drag for about 7, 8.
Yeah, and I think the show is called Sunny with a or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Sunny with a, it's a playoff of Sunny with a chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunny is such a talented entertainer. They, not only live seeing, but are just so creative and makeup-wise have some of the best concepts. So really go on and support them.
Yeah, they did a puppet look that I thought was absolutely terrifying. and then they did this sexy sort of I'm in my bathrobe kind of look or whatever, in the sheer number, and then had all these cool things going on. And then they did a clown number, from what I remember, over this last week or so. And that was just... it was so cool to see people putting that artistic expression alive.
It was.
My artistic expression is I'm going to see how long I can keep a beard. So I might do a bearded look. Shout out to Flawless Shade, though,
yes,
who did a bearded drag look, which still got read a little bit on the internet. People are really still, we're still in 2020 making people feel bad for doing a gender look that has a beard. Like,
it's, you know, it's crazy. It's, because I found myself too, just relating back to when I've done a bearded look before, mm-hmm. people will be like, I don't like you with that. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. I was like, it's because you've seen like the glam and stuff. I just wanted to try something different and artistic, but it's like, people are so rigid with gender still that it's like, it's shocking to see someone who's typically a queen that paints, you know, very stereotypically facial feminized, you know, and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden have a beard that people are all of a sudden like yeah. triggered by it.
It's terrible. Cause I did it too. I did one Blondie through Gender Benders Part 2 invited me to, cause if you didn't know, Coco Gem Holiday is bi-gender. And so the fact is, by the way, I don't go by they, them pronouns. And so I did my first ever performance bearded drag look. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody who did make a joking comment about, like, you know, about the beard on Facebook. And I know that they were joking. Well, I hope they were. Mm-hmm. And it hit me so sideways because I was like, because it was hard for me to actually go out in public.
You already had your own insecurities
about it. Oh, so many insecurities.
Yeah.
And to get read like that. And Sativa, Goddamn Jones is their drag name, said online, they're like, well, I appreciate Coco for, you know, trying something new mm-hmm. and whatever, things like that. So, you know, whatever, yeah. just as a side note.
So it's not only local queens that have turned to this platform of digital drag. Even the Drag Race superstars that we've seen on shows like Dragula and RuPaul's Drag Race have taken to this digital transition that we are having to...
Work the World Live, it's Bianca Del Rio and Lady Bunny host a global benefit for your favorite stars from RuPaul's Drag Race. And it says that it's $9.99, and I don't know if that is $9.99 to view mm-hmm. or if that's $9.99 to get the pre-recorded after you see the live event. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing about that for me. So, like, when you think about the booking fees for Drag Race entertainers being from $720 to upwards to $10,000 per booking, like for even like pride events for them, like it kind of hits me sideways just a little bit. And let me explain why. I think everybody deserves their coin, especially if you make it on that platform, you deserve your coin. However, like local drag artists, like even myself, like I didn't make any money from, you know, posting my Venmo or my Drag for Fans or things like that. And then knowing that these entertainers who already have so much exposure and so much money in the bank, if they're doing it right, is like, I don't know, it just kind of hits me weird. And I know that they definitely still want to, because they obviously have a passion for drag because they're mm-hmm. still doing it. And they deserve to make their money too. But so I really hope, I hope beyond hope that that live show is free. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm sorry. I do hope that it's free. That people out there who love Drag Race, because I do say there is a difference between people who do love Drag Race and drag fans. Mm-hmm. And I know that we've all seen that meme and we've all seen those quotes and we've all seen those articles. But
that if you're supporting the Drag Race girls, you better be supporting your local girls, da 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 da.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, it's true. I'm not trying to make fun of it because it's something that, as a drag entertainer, you have to kind of preach that to some extent.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I super agree. So, hopefully it is free. And, you know, the thing about this whole, what we're going through right now, is that people are finding, like we said, innovative ways to be able to showcase their art to the world. Mm-hmm. Donna, actually, let's talk about your series that you're doing.
Yeah.
Because that, at the time of this recording, you'll probably have more than one look out at the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, the thing is, I, about 2 years ago now, a little less than 2 years ago, I did a Seven Deadly Sins makeup series where I just did a different look for each of the Seven Deadly Sins. It's something that's common. You've seen a lot of people on Instagram do it. A lot of beauty gurus and stuff do that kind of stuff. But I think it's fun to put a draggy twist on some of those challenges and makeup looks. So my new makeup series that I've started is the zodiac signs. So I started with the very first sign in the zodiac, Aries, also my zodiac sign, today, and I posted it, and I'll be doing all of the zodiac signs throughout this quarantine. I thought of originally posting them during each season, doing them all and then posting it, but I'm not patient, and I know that's something I need to work on. I want to get all of them out there, and I want all of y'all to see what is in this weird mind of mine. I'm going to improvise all of them. I'm not going to plan any of them out. They're all going to be off the top of my head. I'm going to sit down and then just do a makeup look on the corresponding zodiac signs. So stay tuned and follow me on my socials for that.
Yeah, definitely. So everybody, we're going to split this episode into two parts, because I feel like there's a lot of great content in the first part. So Donna, how about you take us out for part one of this podcast, and hopefully folks turn into part two to get the rest of our digital explanation about where drag is going during quarantine.
Absolutely. Thank you everyone for tuning into A Gem of a Secret Podcast. We will see you next time. You can catch us at agemofasecretpodcast.com, where we'll provide links to all of the entertainers mentioned in tonight's episode.
Yeah, so my name's Coco Gem Holiday. You can find me at Coco Gem Holiday.
And you can find me at Donatella_mysecrets. Bye, everybody.
Thanks.